When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
Four assists in the second half. I believe like two or three were in the fourth quarter finding LeBron. And, again, earlier I said LeBron was more off ball. And a lot of that was putting LeBron in those corners, right? LeBron kind of took the Rui role. We benched Rui down the stretch and put in Torian to kind of help. Torian was playing really well, attacking closeouts well. Had no issue with that. We kind of put LeBron in that cutter role, right? The way that they were kind of ignoring Rui and kind of had that scouted. It's a little different when LeBron's on the strong side there. So they're having D'Lo and AD run ball screens. AD was involved off that short role. He's the one screening either to get D'Lo a look, either to have him drive and find LeBron or get him to the basket attacking downhill. So AD's been awesome. Again, I think this team still needs more second half scoring from him to like do anything of, to actually win this series in a sense. But he's been awesome, and I think the ask is huge. He has to also step up on the pick and roll. He has to switch out, right? And when those comments came about, like, we don't know what we're doing, I think that was just more of, like, the team is stagnant a lot of the times where they don't involve him in the action. And, again, I think he's accountable for some of that too. But tonight he was involved pretty much all fourth quarter. The offensive rebounds, the tip-outs, the defensive glass, right? We beat them on the boards, Anthony. I think AD had half of our boards today. Like, he's the one actually boxing out every time, and the amount of physicality that takes to do that and still run up the court. I think he hurt his wrist or something like this game as well, has some like injuries I'm sure that he's nursing, but I hope he gets his flowers, man. This dude has been awesome all year, honestly. He was awesome in the play-in. He was awesome these four games. We'll see how this series continues. But, AD deserves all the flowers this season. Played over 70 games, right? Like, this is stuff that people have been asking for. All his critics, that's the stuff that they point to. The consistency, the games played. Well, he kind of filled both those boats this season. So he was awesome, and they're going to need him in Denver.
Last point on AD. One of the things that you and I were looking at or keeping an eye on over the course of the season was AD's assist totals, right? And what the Lakers' record would be in games that he had at least, I think, six assists was actually where we arrived here, right? Was kind of the number that we set as the baseline there. Lakers had a great record all year when he had at least six assists. They win this one tonight, and he gets that sixth assist. And nice. Operating out of the high post, you mentioned he had a huge pass. The Lakers desperately needed a bucket late. LeBron cuts backdoor. AD finds him cutting backdoor, and I think that kind of sort of ended the game that bucket did there. That one and Reeves's score in the paint over KCP also. I'm glad that you mentioned LeBron moving off of the ball in the fourth quarter.
Yep. And 12 points in the fourth for LeBron.
And how that actually made him a more effective player. There's no reason to have D'Lo out there if LeBron is going to constantly be on the ball. But I also think, especially given the way that D'Lo played tonight, you kind of have him out there for that, right? Like we have said that the Lakers, they only reach their ceiling if D'Lo plays well. And you need to have him out there on the court and find ways to keep him out there on the court and be useful while he's out there on the court. And I think when the offense kind of devolves into LeBron ball at the top of the key, that makes it really difficult to get the full impact offensively on D'Lo. And then you're hoping that he makes up for it on defense. And he will tell you that he can do that. He said it already this year that he won't do that. And I thought, moving LeBron off of the ball a little bit, you got more Austin on the ball too. Austin and D'Lo combined for 15 of 30 from the field tonight. Austin only got 30 minutes, which seems weird. Like, he played 33 in the game earlier this series. I don't know why his minutes have, like, I don't think you need to keep playing Spencer Dinwiddie. I think we're good here. Like, you played
right.
Spencer Dinwiddie played 14 minutes. You don't have to keep on playing him. You're good. I think Gabe has made it pretty clear. He is the more valuable or more useful player in this series, and you can't keep having Reeves hover around 30 minutes a night.
I think Reeves just didn't play much because that lineup that was on the court made a run. So Reeves was at the scorer's table in the fourth quarter, but then the team pushed their lead, I think, from 11 to like 15 or 16, and Darvin, I believe, told him to sit down. That's when Gabe was in the game, and I agree with you. I don't think Spencer needs to play. Let Gabe play. I think Gabe has defended Jamal Murray as well as Austin, or even maybe a little bit better than Austin has. Gabe slides over screens a little bit more. He's just a little smaller in that sense that he can do that. Gabe has played really well, I thought. But no, with D'Lo, it's tough because he's the Lamar Odom of this team, really, where when he plays well, we just don't lose, Anthony. Mm-hmm. You know, like of the previous Laker teams, and I'm not comparing those two as players, although two lefties as well. But you need D'Lo to be aggressive, right? Like tonight, they had Michael Porter Jr. guarding him, and this is how D'Lo should react when MPJ is on him. MPJ is a good defender. He's solid, but he's a guy that you attack his foot speed, and D'Lo's able to go at him a little bit, step back jumper, come off screens and pull up. There's such a vast difference between D'Lo being aggressive and when he's not. He might have the biggest gap as a player in the league, but when he has that moxie, when he has this swagger, he posted that Shia LaBeouf clip on Instagram today of, I don't give a F of what you think about me. And that's a fine way to put it if you're able to go out there and produce like this. Like,
he's lying. Anybody who posts, like anybody who says, I don't give a bleep what you think about me, typically gives a bleep what you think about me. There's not. Like the people who actually don't give a bleep how people feel about them, don't say it out loud. Like, sure.
Okay. but any sense, like, I'm fine D'Lo going to the games with that mentality, that me versus the world, right? One versus five or whatever, or 10 or whoever, however he wants to put it. But he has to be aggressive. He can't shy away. And like, I don't think it's a coincidence that our best games in this series are when he plays well. And it's not just the shooting, right? He was 8 for 15, obviously, but I think it's him coming off screens, and he's a threat. So you have to step up higher, and that pocket pass is there, or that skip pass is there. Like, it opens up the game so much. And when D'Lo's shy and not aggressive and kind of into himself, the team gets hurt because there's just not enough talent to beat this Denver Nuggets team without his offense and production. So hopefully we get two straight good games from him. This Jekyll and Hyde stuff just does not work, or else we'll be at home after Monday. We're gonna need a big, you know, another, it doesn't have to score, you know, whatever he did tonight, but like, at least he has to be productive and come off aggressive and at least make Denver guard him in a way, and he did that tonight. And Anthony, his defense was better tonight. Like, I don't understand this effort that waxes and wanes so much for him. He was on Jamal Murray for large stretches of this game, did a nice job fighting around screens. He's too smart not to, gets around, is able to attach while Jamal Murray snakes these screens. It just it comes and goes too much. He lets his offense dictate his defense, and that needs to get cut out if the Lakers want to do something.
Rui, I know he wasn't, like, it wasn't the best Rui game, and it hasn't been the best Rui series, but still, 22 minutes for Rui is too few. And the fact that he was a plus 13 in the 22 minutes, it's like, you know, and like, a lot of that is that he's playing next to LeBron and AD, and he's with that starting five that, like, thoroughly outplayed the Nuggets tonight. It continues to, frankly, I still don't think, like, 22 minutes for him. Prince played really well. He played 29 minutes, kind of tempting fate there, right? Because, like, once he goes over like 24 minutes, that's typically when you see the decline in productivity there. But again, like, you know, Lakers played 9 guys tonight. They technically got Christian Wood. He was available tonight. He did not play. I think that was the right call. I think you could get away with playing 8 and remove Dinwiddie from it, and you could split Dinwiddie's remaining minutes. He played 14. If you give 7 of those to Reeves, that's 37. If you give 7 of them to Rui, that's 29 at least, right? 22 minutes for Rui when putting him into the starting lineup has kind of turned your season around doesn't make much sense to me.
Right. And I think the starters tonight, Anthony, they played 19 minutes almost, which, you know, I thought they should have played a lot more. Again, they won their minutes. They were a +8 in those in that lineup. The reason that Rui didn't play, and it's not really his fault, honestly, is that it's the MPJ equation. Like, if MPJ can just come back to Earth once, right? Can he, like, just come down from wherever he's floating in the Colorado Rockies? If he can just come down at least once in Game 5. But that's the issue, really, is because you have Rui. They've kind of moved him off of Jokic for most of the game. When he was on him, it was a struggle. We had to double, you know, very hard whenever Rui's on him, because Denver's kind of figured that out. But Rui chasing around MPJ, that's just a tough matchup for him. And that's where kind of Taurean, even though he's not like as, you know, as physical as Rui is, but Taurean can at least come around screens a little bit more and just stay with Porter Jr. in a way that Rui can't. So that's why Rui's minutes got cut. And also his offense has kind of slowed down. His jumper has just not been there. He's not hitting the mid-range fade as much. They've scouted that baseline cut, so his timing has been off. And so LeBron at like the 4 and 5, kind of the role that LeBron and AD are playing, it kind of slots Rui into an uncomfortable position of like, who does he guard? So I think that's the issue. But no, you're right. 22 minutes is, I'd rather have Rui out there at least in those super small minutes, right, Anthony? Like, let's not play four guards. Like, it worked tonight. Like, that worked, but let's not take Spencer out, put Rui in, up Rui's minutes to that 33 minute mark, and at least you have some more size out there. Maybe even play Rui, AD, and Jackson together. Like, you can get weird when you get big, you can get weird, so like you can kind of mix the lineups up in strange ways. But yeah, I agree with you, that's 22 minutes is not enough. It's just the MPJ equation. MPJ again shot just absurd, scored 27 points, Anthony. Like, this is a guy that like doesn't average 20 in the regular season. It's just he's having an incredible series, and that's why Rui's minutes are going to fluctuate.
Another one, Raj, where you make him bleed, because typically when MPJ plays like that tonight, he finishes with 27 points, 11 rebounds, an assist, a steal, 10 of 20 from the field, 4 of 11 from 3-point range, 3 of 5 from the free throw line. When he plays like that, they win, and they win big.
Right.
Like, typically, when he plays like that, they win and they beat the shit out of teams. But they lost tonight, you know, and
they lost his minutes. Yeah.
And you know, that's another thing that, like, this Lakers team, right, that I thought was really kind of lacking for belief against Denver. That's another thing they can point to, is like, wait, not only did we win, but we, you know, the script played out the way that it normally does. We flipped it in the fourth. We were able to somehow beat Denver with MPJ playing that way. Jokic played great, so it wasn't like he was bad, right? Like, you did get the bad Murray game, and we'll talk about him here in a second. But yeah, normally when MPJ plays like that, and he started hitting there, like he had a run there where he hit a few shots in, or a couple shots, I think, in a row, and I was like, oh no, here's the turn. Right. Here's where these things kind of start turning. The momentum starts swinging, and the Lakers were able to stem that tide. They were able to, you know, I thought the biggest stretch of the game actually was when LeBron sat in the third quarter, and they were somehow able to survive that stretch there. Despite some weird decisions earlier in the quarter. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's just, This is how you upset a team, right? You start with one game, you start with one dub, and maybe they don't upset them, maybe whatever. We'll see what this kind of looks like, but beating them when MPJ plays like this feels big, feels important.
It absolutely is, and again, it might be just leveling out Jamal Murray not playing well, but I would argue that our defense on Jamal Murray is at least part of that. If Denver fans and people who come for the Nuggets don't want to give them full, you know how to get full credit for that, but I think that's at least a part of it. And like, to beat Denver, look, if we blew them out tonight, Anthony, I think it would feel a little bit different. Denver at least came knocking on the door, right? It was a 7-point game, I think, with like 4 or 5 minutes left, and to be able to shut the door, I think that means a lot. Denver didn't throw the white flag at all. They played their starters all the way down, and those guys tried to execute, and we defended their Like, they're last-minute plays as well as we have all series. And again, like, it's a huge mountain to climb. We're looking up Mount Everest right now, and we barely just, you know, got on the road, or however, you know, people hike Mount Everest. Like, we just barely started going up.
Colorado Rockies are right there, Raj.
Right, yeah, that's
true.
You
don't even have to say Mount Everest. Like, they have a big-ass mountain range where they play.
That's true. Another place I want to visit one day, Colorado. But no, yeah, so like, it's a huge mountain to climb. It's just, these are the things you can get, you have to at least start to do. And I think we've at least started to play better. But again, it's really sad, Anthony, because I feel like this series should be even, and the conversations are way different than we're having right now. But you got to fight the battle. I always say, like, you can walk in or run 100 miles per hour in, and you got to run 100 miles per hour into this game five, which I think we do have a chance. We played well in all the games in Denver, have not been blown out actually really at all this series. So this has been a tight series. The Lakers have pretty much won their minutes. Just got to hope that it evens out a little bit. And Michael Porter Jr., please, like, come back down to earth. One game.
All right. So before we move on, and we have a ton of super comments here that we're going to get to here in a second. But before we get to that, we do have to talk about this. We do have to talk about, like, one of the things that Phil Jackson really prided his teams on was when they had an opportunity to snuff out an opponent, they did, typically.
Mm-hmm.
He did not lose very many elimination games. And if he felt like a team wasn't focused in an elimination game, he would call his men. Like, those were the times where he would call a timeout and really, like, get everybody focused, because you don't want to play extra playoff games. And I saw somebody in the chat mention this while we were talking about this, but Murray looked a little gimpy late in the game, and
his calf or something like that. Yeah,
yeah, it's the kind of, and Murray, by the way, has been dealing with injury stuff his entire career, like this season too, but his entire career. He's always rolling ankles. He's always dealing with some kind of soft tissue thing, right? And for the Nuggets to basically approach this, and I see Nuggets fans talking about how, well, they didn't care about an elimination game against the Minnesota Timberwolves last year and then stopped them from winning a championship. If you are forming a habit of not caring about playoff elimination games, and you are, like, okay with your team playing extra playoff games, boy, you don't understand what it means to be a great team and what it takes to be a great team. And I know that, like Nuggets fans don't have very much experience watching great teams, watching their team be great. They have a lot of experience watching the Lakers be great against their team, but they don't have very much experience as far as, like, watching their Denver Nuggets team be great and strive for that greatness. And, you know, we talked about coming into the series, right? Harrison and I have been bugging you, you know, to the point where, like, HR might have to get involved. but like, the, you know, we talked about, like, the basketball gods and how pissing them off, you know, eventually is going to turn its head. I'm telling you, if the Nuggets are like, formulate a habit of playing extra playoff games when they don't have to, that is not the habit that you want to form, man. Cause they're a Jamal Murray hamstring tweak, or like, right now he's dealing with this calf thing. You know what's really close to the calf? All kinds of important stuff. You have the knee to the north, and you have the ankle and the Achilles to the south. Like, you play these extra games here, and now all of a sudden that injury takes on real meaning. And if the Nuggets, you know, if somehow, and the last time the Lakers played in Denver, they should have won game 2.
Game 2, yep.
You know, like, we walked away from that depressed as hell, because you felt like you should have won that one. And so, like, if the Lakers are somehow able to take game 5, and now all of a sudden they go back home to play game 6 at home against a team that we just saw Jamal Murray come up a little gimpy with, right? And we've seen Peyton Watson isn't ready for all of this. He's looked good defensively, but he was pretty bad offensively in this one. Christian Brown hasn't mattered really in this series. And Reggie Jackson also turned an ankle in the previous game. Didn't look great tonight. Hasn't been very good all year. So you have a thin team, and now Jamal Murray looks a little gimpy. You do not want to play extra playoff games, not just for the practical matters, but again, because, like, if we're going to believe in the basketball gods, This is not something that they're going to smile upon.
No, it's not. And with the Jamal Murray stuff, like obviously neither of us hope for injury, but Jamal Murray even dropping from 100 to like 85-90%, that has real impact on this series, right? Jamal Murray not being just the flamethrower, going down to just like a lower level of a guard, that helps a ton. And I thought, honestly, Anthony, we could have won both games in Denver. Like, if D'Lo just doesn't give you nothing in game one, and if Rui doesn't give you nothing in game one, you probably have a chance of winning that one too. And honestly, game three, it was more of us quitting than Denver taking it, I would argue. Like, if you follow the Denver people who are tweeting about it, most of the analysis was the Lakers quit in the third quarter. And obviously Denver has a say of why that happened, but I think a lot of it was also our doing. I think Denver tried tonight. I don't think this was they just let this game go, but there were definitely points of this game where they were more relaxed in other parts. Their intensity went up in the second half, and you give a team life. You give any team life. You give the Charlotte Hornets, the Washington Wizards life.
That was the pisses off with this Lakers team all year. How many times did the Lakers just fuck with their food, and then all of a sudden, oh crap, the food's eating them?
Exactly, and it's a totally different tier when it's Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the other end, right? Who probably don't need more motivation. I mean, obviously, just not getting swept, I'm sure, is motivation enough. But like, there's a part of this, I'm sure, LeBron seeing like, hey, this is an unbeatable team, and like, it's a huge task, and that stuff that I've done all my career. Anthony Davis, again, has matched Jokic, at least production-wise. I know people want to move production to impact, which I understand. I get that. Jokic's impact can be seen through a different lens because he has such a offensive, ask for that team. But I think AD has matched him for the most part of this series. There's been fourth quarters where Jokic has outplayed him. But no, like, if your stars can at least match or outplay, I'd argue Anthony, AD, and LeBron have been two of the three best players in this series. Like, I think they've been better than Jamal Murray for most of this series. Obviously, Jamal Murray has the game two to kind of to maybe put that over him. But no, we'll see in game five. I think this team has at least a chance. They've played well in Denver. You're going to get Denver's best punch, so we'll see how that looks. Denver's definitely testing. I believe in the basketball gods. I believe. I don't believe you can kind of know when they'll bless you or when they won't. That's kind of how this works. But I do believe that there's some of this. There's a lot of teams that, mess around and find out when they're up 3-0. That's why you want to close the door. And teams always say the elimination game is the toughest. That's the hardest one to win. And this is why. When a team's wounded, like, that's when a team or a player or whoever, that's when they're most dangerous, right? And so hopefully, Anthony, this is when we are most dangerous, like when we're wounded and bleeding, like in that movie 300.
Yeah, and again, I don't know if it's necessarily going to matter against the Lakers in this series, right?
Yeah.
Like, game five is going to be a bitch to try to win. Denver's an incredible team. And look, a lot of times it's like, I'm the oldest brother in my family, and my younger brothers are both, like, one is 13 years younger than me. The other one is seven or six and some change. And, brothers wrestle, brothers play fight, all these things. Right. And the worst thing, my middle Alex, like, he was so much younger than me than, like, it didn't matter what happened there. Like, it was just, I was just too much older than him. I was out of the house, hell, by the time Alex was like in his teens. But, with Andrew, the dumbest thing that he can do if he wanted to avoid pain was to hurt me, right? Because now all of a sudden you're playing. Then you get hit in the face and you're like, this mother, and then all of a sudden Andrew has his face like in the carpet, and you're just beating the crap out of, younger brother. And like, maybe that's how this plays out, right? The Lakers did. They caught Denver in the face tonight. They hit them and they caused a little bit of pain. And now Denver kind of like wakes back up and they treat, the lesser team the way that the lesser team should have been treated. My point here, and I see that there are some Denver fans watching here. My point here is that if this was like, if for me, having watched a ton of championships take place over my lifetime, for me, it would really piss me off to have my team have the opportunity to end a series against LeBron James and Anthony Davis and basically elect not to, right? Mm-hmm. They did not play this game very hard. I think the Lakers scored 70 points in the paint tonight. That was Denver not giving a bleep. And I'm sorry, but you cannot think that it's okay to just not give a bleep in playoff games. That is not something that great teams do. Sure. And yeah, the Nuggets went on an incredible run last year, 16-4, all that stuff. The Lakers also went on an incredible run. And they are on the verge of a first-round defeat, right?
Right.
So, again, this is a matter of habits. And any fan who has watched good teams be good for a long time and had high expectations, lofty expectations, should walk away from this Denver team and be like, it's probably not great that they just don't care sometimes. Even in playoff games, it's just probably not great.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's not just the habits. It's also about momentum, right? I think in a series, momentum swings.
Don't give belief. This series could be over, and now the Lakers, all of a sudden, they have a little bit of belief.
And you think LeBron and AD want to waste a flight to Denver? You think they're going there? You know what I mean?
LeBron could be on the on the Malfi Coast right now.
He could be where, anywhere in the world.
Could be on his way to freaking the most beautiful vacation that anybody can fathom, and instead he has to go back to Denver.
Right. And so I don't think so. My point in that is they're not going there to mess around. Right. So I believe the Lakers are going to throw their best punch. And so will Denver. I just want to add to also, Anthony, this is the worst Aaron Gordon game of the series. And this kind of mixes also into your not seriousness. Right. And Aaron Gordon's a player, honestly, that kind of is immune to this. He plays hard every night. So I wonder if the Lakers, I got to go back and rewatch to kind of understand maybe where they were able to kind of hold him off. But 7 points, 3 for 7 from the field. For Aaron Gordon, only had three rebounds, which again is just very unlike him. He's a guy that has 6 offensive rebounds usually in a game, so I think that's a huge key as well. Aaron Gordon has been such a thorn in our side pretty much any time he's been on Denver because of his energy and his motor and his physical kind of toughness at the rim. You talked about our 70 points at the basket. We were going at Gordon. LeBron tonight, one of the things he was doing, and again, this is to your point, Anthony, why you don't want to stretch a series. Teams find stuff out, especially LeBron James figures stuff out as the series goes on, right? And maybe it's too late, and it likely is, but what he was doing was attacking Aaron Gordon in transition. And that's a place where you can really get him backpedaling, and that's where LeBron has leverage, right? In the half court, they were sticking LeBron off the ball, but in transition, LeBron was going at Gordon's chest. And there's a lot of plays where LeBron didn't get the call and feels like he got fouled, but I think that's a huge kind of mix as well. LeBron not going at AG in the half court, but attacking him in transition. So again, those are things to look forward to in game 5. Hopefully Nuggets again kind of overlook the Lakers and think this is an easy home win, and the Lakers can steal one in Denver.
Yeah, I'm really curious how the beginning of game 5 goes. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to learn a lot about both teams at the beginning of game 5.